The Billionaire's Unexpected Proposal, Evelyn and Derek. Chapter 1. At 22, Evelyn knew exactly what she wanted. She had always known it since she was 15 and had wanted the very same thing for the past 6 years, to marry the love of her life right after her graduation from school and start her own family. She believed herself to be the luckiest girl on earth to have her dreams come true. Here she was, a week after her graduation, trying on her wedding dress for the final fitting before the wedding tomorrow. Her fiancé, Michael, was the one and only love of her life. She had met him 3 years ago, and it had been love at first sight for both of them. In less than 24 hours, they would be walking down the aisle. Ecstatic didn't do justice to what she was truly feeling. "You're going to make the most beautiful bride ever, Eve," Sandra, her stepsister, cooed, breaking into her thoughts. "I already feel like the most beautiful bride, Sandy. This feels like a fairy tale, and I'm about to begin my happily ever after," Evelyn said with a wide smile. "This is perfect." "So perfect," Evelyn said, flashing the designer a delighted smile. "Mike is not going to be able to tear his eyes away from you," Sandra said, admiring Evelyn as the designer added the final touch to her wedding dress. Evelyn grinned as she twirled around, her eyes shining brightly. "Thanks, Sandy. What would I do without you?" Evelyn asked as she stopped turning and stood facing Sandra. Evelyn's mother had died after birthing her, leaving her father no choice but to raise her alone. When she turned 5, her father had married Sandra's mom, who was a single mother. Sandra had been 4 years old while Evelyn was 5, and they had gotten along so well together all these years and were best of friends. "Let's hope you never find out," Sandra said with a grin, then glanced at her wristwatch. "Shoot. I need to go see if the florist has gotten all the flowers ready as requested. Will you be fine on your own?" Sandra asked, and Evelyn rolled her eyes. "I'm not a kid." "Of course, I will be okay," Evelyn assured her. "All right. Try to get some rest. Sleep if you can. Tonight is going to be your last night as a bachelorette, and we have to party," Sandra said in a sing-song voice, and Evelyn giggled as she watched her leave the room. 30 minutes later, after the designer left, Evelyn lay on her bed thinking about Michael and what it would feel like walking down the aisle with him tomorrow. Suddenly missing him, she decided to sneak over to his place to spend some fun time with him before Sandra got back. Picking up her car key, she hurried out of the house and got into her car. She decided to give him a call first, wanting to confirm that he was indeed at home. The phone rang 4 times before he picked up. "Hey, soon-to-be wife," he greeted softly, and she blushed. "Hello, soon-to-be husband," she responded happily. "Missing me?" he asked, as though he could read her mind. "Yeah. What are you up to? Are you out? Is Rex with you?" she asked, referring to his best man. "No. Rex isn't here yet. I'm home, trying to set up the place for my wife to move in," he said, and she grinned. "What about you? What are you doing?" he asked with interest. "Me? Just lying down and thinking about you," she lied. "All right. I can't wait to see you in your dress tomorrow. I love you so much," he said, making her smile. "I love you so much more. I will let you get back to what you were doing. I will finish up and call you back, okay?" he said, and she grinned. "All right, baby," she said, and with that, she hung up the call and started the car. She couldn't wait to see the surprise on his face when he saw her standing in front of him. 20 minutes later, she arrived at his place and rode the elevator up to his apartment. Wanting to surprise him, she didn't bother with the doorbell and entered the passcode for his door. The moment she walked into the house, the smile on her face faltered when she saw the white stilettos by the door. Did he have company? She mused as she took off her shoes and continued inside. She wanted to call out his name, but she stopped when she saw the feminine clothes strewn across his couch, a short white cotton dress and a red blazer. This time her brows pulled together when she recognized the very familiar clothes. These were the clothes Sandra had been wearing earlier. She looked back at the stilettos and recognized them as the limited edition pair she had gotten Sandra for her birthday the previous year. Why was Sandra here and not at the florist's? And why didn't Michael mention that Sandra was with him? Evelyn mused, her heart racing fast as she made her way toward the bedroom. A part of her brain already analyzed the situation and knew what was going on, but another part of her brain didn't want to believe it. She wanted to believe that perhaps Sandra had come here to discuss details about the flowers with Michael, and maybe tea had spilled on her dress, so she was inside looking for something else to wear. Unfortunately, the closer Evelyn drew to the bedroom, the less she believed the excuse she was making. Sandra's laughter drifted through the half-opened door of the bedroom. "You needed to hear her earlier," she heard Sandra say. "I already feel like the most beautiful bride, Sandy. This feels like a fairy tale, and I'm about to begin my happily ever after," Sandra said, mimicking what Evelyn had said earlier, and Michael chuckled. "She is so childish and silly. The only reason I'm able to stand her is her inheritance," she heard Michael say, and her perfect world shattered in an instant. Chapter 2. Hearing those words from Michael and Sandra was one thing, but seeing them entwined on the bed was another. Evelyn's breath caught in her throat, and she felt the sting of betrayal cut deep. She backed away, her vision blurred by tears, and fled the house, her heart pounding in her chest. She got into her car and drove away, wanting to be as far away from them as possible. She thought of going back home, but she couldn't. She didn't want to see anyone. She didn't want to face anyone. She didn't want to have to look into Sandra's face. She couldn't. She kept driving, her tears blurring her vision, until she collided with another vehicle. The screech of tires and the crunch of metal jolted her back to reality. Her car swerved violently, and she slammed on the brakes, the force throwing her forward before the car jolted violently to a shuddering halt. Disoriented, she wrenched her head around, her heart hammering against her ribs. Her hands shook as she gripped the steering wheel, her mind reeling from the impact. Across the intersection, the other car, a sleek black sedan, sat at a jaunty angle, its bumper crumpled like discarded foil. A figure emerged from the back seat, a man in a crisp suit, his face contorted in a mask of fury. As he stormed towards her, Evelyn braced herself for a verbal onslaught. But as he drew closer, his anger morphed into concern, and Evelyn realized she wasn't prepared for this. As he got closer, the anger in his eyes softened slightly when he saw Evelyn, her face streaked with tears and her mascara smudged. "What the hell were you doing? Do you want to get yourself and others killed?" he asked, his voice laced with a hint of concern despite his anger. Evelyn opened her mouth to speak, but all that came out was a choked sob. She slumped back in her seat, burying her face in her hands. The man hesitated, frustration warring with a flicker of worry. "Hey, are you all right?" he asked, his voice softer this time. Evelyn couldn't respond, she just kept crying, the sobs racking her body. "Where are you heading?" he finally asked, his voice gentle despite the throbbing vein in his temple. "I will take you there." Evelyn shook her head, her voice muffled against her hands. The thought of facing anyone and explaining the mess she was in was unbearable. "Come on, lady," the man persisted, his voice firm but kind. "You're in no state to drive, and neither is your car in any state to be driven." "Let me take you," he insisted. Evelyn remained silent, the image of Sandra and Michael flashing before her eyes, a cruel reminder of her shattered world. The man sighed, a hint of exasperation creeping into his voice. "Look," he said impatiently, "either you let me take you somewhere safe, or I'm calling the cops and dealing with this the other way." Evelyn looked up and glanced at the vehicles as the weight of his threat sank in. Dealing with the police, the insurance, and the aftermath was the last thing she needed right now. With a shaky nod, she conceded defeat. "All right," she croaked, her voice hoarse with tears. "Good," he said, relief washing over his features. "Get in my car. I will have yours taken care of and brought to you." Reluctantly, Evelyn nodded and got out of her car. He guided her to his vehicle, helped her into the passenger seat, and then signaled his driver to take care of her car and bring it along. Evelyn stole a glance at her companion as he got into the car. He was handsome in a rugged way, with dark hair that swept across his forehead. When he turned to look at her, she was met with piercing blue eyes that held a hint of curiosity. "Where to?" he asked, his voice still laced with concern. Evelyn bit her lip, unsure of what to say. "Anywhere. Literally anywhere, as long as it wasn't her home, wasn't her life, wasn't the nightmare she was running from. Anywhere. Just take me anywhere," she replied, her voice barely above a whisper. The man raised an eyebrow, a flicker of amusement dancing in his eyes. "That's not very specific," he said, a faint smile tugging at the corner of his lips. Evelyn's resolve hardened. She didn't want conversation, didn't want pity. All she craved was a temporary escape, a brief respite from the mess that had become her life. Suddenly, a reckless thought, born out of desperation and heartache, crossed her mind. "Your place," she blurted out, shocking even herself. The man's smile vanished, replaced by a look of utter bewilderment. "My place," he echoed. "What do you mean?" "Anywhere you're going is fine," she insisted. He sighed, clearly uncertain, but left without a choice. He drove to his hotel, his mind racing with questions. The ride was mostly silent, punctuated only by the soft sniffles she couldn't quite control. As they pulled up to a luxurious hotel, the man turned to her. "Are you sure you don't want to go home or to a hospital?" he asked, his voice laced with concern. Evelyn shook her head. The tears finally receded, leaving behind a raw vulnerability. The man seemed hesitant, but after a moment, he sighed. "All right," he said. "Look, I don't know what's going on, but if you want to talk about it, I'm here to listen." "Thanks," she mumbled as he helped her out of the car and led her to his suite, leaving his driver to go fix the cars. Inside, he guided her to sit on the couch and brought her a glass of water. She took it, her hands trembling. "What happened?" he asked softly, sitting beside her. "Why were you crying?" Evelyn couldn't bring herself to tell him. The words were too painful to say out loud. She just shook her head, fresh tears spilling down her cheeks. Seeing that she didn't want to talk, he rose. "If you don't mind, I need to freshen up. I've had a long day," he said, and without waiting for her response, he walked into his bedroom. When he stepped out of the bathroom, he was surprised to see her standing in his room. "What are you doing in here? Do you need something?" he asked, since the only thing covering his body was the towel around his waist. "Are you married?" she asked, looking at him with an unreadable expression that shocked him. He blinked in surprise. "No. Why are you engaged? Do you have a girlfriend?" she asked, cutting him off. He was puzzled by her line of questioning but answered, "No." "Would you want to have sex with me?" she asked bluntly. Chapter 3. Derek stared at her, taken aback. "Why would I want to do that? Why would you want to do that?" he asked, beginning to wonder if the whole accident and tears thing had been a ploy to get to him. Evelyn's cheeks burned with a mixture of shame and a strange sense of defiance. The words had tumbled out before she could think. "I mean," she stammered, her voice barely a whisper. "Do you find me attractive?" He stared at her, his blue eyes narrowed in confusion. The silence stretched between them, thick and heavy. Evelyn wanted to crawl under the seat and disappear. This impulsive act, born out of heartbreak, was already spiraling out of control. Finally, he spoke, his voice carefully neutral. "Yes," he conceded, "but I don't understand. Why would you want to have sex with me?" Evelyn took a deep, shaky breath. Every fiber of her being screamed at her to run, to get away from this man, this stranger who had witnessed her breakdown. But the raw, exposed vulnerability within her battled that instinct. There was a strange calmness in the face of the unknown, a temporary escape from the wreckage of her life. "Look," she began, her voice hollow. "I just realized I've made a terrible mistake all my life." "The worst mistake," she hesitated, tears welling up again, "and I need to make one more mistake before I snap back to my senses." "That doesn't make any sense. Why will you want to make any more mistakes if the one you made already left you in this state?" he asked, trying to rationalize what she had just said. "Because by doing this, I might be able to forgive myself for that terrible mistake. Don't try to understand me. The only thing I want from you is sex. I'm not asking for your love. I'm not asking for your money. And I don't want to know who you are or your name either. I don't need any of that from you. All I want is for you to have sex with me." Derek studied her intently for a long moment, his expression unreadable. She could almost see the wheels turning in his head, the questions forming behind his gaze. Then, to her surprise, a slow smile spread across his face. It wasn't a mocking smile, but one touched with understanding, maybe even a hint of sympathy. He shook his head. "No, I can't do that. You're clearly upset. What was the mistake you made? Perhaps I can help you better by giving you listening ears." Evelyn didn't respond, and to his utter shock, she began to take off her dress, stripping naked in front of him. Derek watched her, confusion warring with desire as she walked over to him, her eyes pleading. "Please, just have sex with me." He looked away from her naked body. "I can't do that. You're hurting. And I really don't think this is the solution. I'm not in need of a solution. I need a temporary reprieve," she said as she raised herself on her toes, pressing her body against his and kissed him. The moment she kissed him, he let go of any hesitation and returned the kiss with equal passion. Before she knew it, he carried her over to the bed and laid her on it. Breaking the kiss, he held her gaze, his gaze searching. "Are you sure about this?" he asked gently. Evelyn met his eyes, a new resolve hardening in her gaze. She nodded. "Yes," she said, her voice stronger than it had been since their chance meeting. "I'm sure." The moment she gave her consent, he pinned her against the bed and ravaged her lips, while his hands moved to grab her breasts. Although she had only wanted to have sex because she thought having sex with a stranger would help her get over the fact that she had been sleeping with a stranger and planning to marry him for the past 4 years, but something about the way the stranger touched her aroused her far more than Michael's touch had ever aroused her, and she found herself meaning loudly. She pulled off the towel and let her hands go down to the bulge between his legs, and she squeezed it gently, eliciting a soft groan from him. She closed her eyes when he lowered his lips to her perky breasts. He circled his tongue around her nipples one at a time, while his hand slowly moved down her abdomen. A gasp escaped from her lips when his fingers connected with her slit, and she tightly held onto the bed sheet with one hand and buried the other hand in his short mop of black hair, as she kissed him fervently, trying to stop herself from moaning as he pleasures her with his fingers. As though he could sense she was trying to hold back, he increased the pace of his fingers, and she couldn't hold back anymore as her silent moans became loud cries of pleasure. "Please fuck me now," she pleaded in a throaty cry, wanting nothing other than to have him buried inside her. "I will, sweet, but only after you come for me," he said, and as though that was all she needed to hear, she toppled over the climax of her pleasure and her nod shook with the force of her orgasm. While she was yet to recover from it, He positioned himself between her thighs and thrust into her with an urgency she wasn't used to, sending her into another round of orgasm. She cried out in pleasure, wanting him to stop so that she could catch her breath, but at the same time not wanting him to stop as she moved her waist in rhythm with his thrusts. That night, Evelyn, who had always thought she was frigid, discovered for the first time that sex was great. She spent the rest of the night with the handsome stranger, rediscovering herself and unlearning all the lies that Michael had made her believe about herself and her body. Chapter 4. Evelyn woke up before the sun had fully risen, the faint light of dawn seeping through the hotel room's heavy curtains. She blinked a few times, disoriented, before the events of the previous night came rushing back to her. Derek lay beside her, his arm draped across her waist, breathing deeply in his sleep. She gently lifted his arm, careful not to wake him, and slipped out of bed. Her clothes lay neatly folded on the dresser. She didn't remember picking them up from the floor, but she was glad he did. She quickly picked them up, dressing in silence. Her heart pounded in her chest as she moved towards the door. She paused, seeing her car key on the table by the door, and hesitated, glancing back at Derek. He remained asleep, his face peaceful in the dim light. She contemplated leaving him a thank you note but decided against it as she grabbed the key, took a deep breath, and quietly slipped out of the room. She hurried down the deserted hallway to the elevator, and out of the building. The cool morning air hit her like a slap as she stepped out of the building. Relief washed over her as she spotted her car in the valet lot, looking slightly worse for wear but intact. As she got into the car, she froze. Her phone lay on the passenger seat, its screen glowing with missed notifications. She picked it up and saw countless missed calls from her parents, Michael and Sandra. Evelyn's heart sank as she stared at the screen, but she didn't return any of the calls. Each number represented a conversation she wasn't ready to have, a judgment she wasn't ready to face. With a clenched jaw, she tossed the phone onto the passenger seat, started the car, and drove off, the events of the past day playing on a loop in her mind. The drive home was a blur. When she finally pulled up to her house, it was early enough that the neighborhood was still shrouded in a quiet morning calm, but her house was bustling with activity. The sight of it, all the decorations, the flowers, the frantic energy, felt like a punch to the gut. This wasn't her reality anymore. This was a fantasy built on lies. She parked and took a moment to steel herself before stepping out of the car. As she approached the front door, it swung open, and her father stood there, his face a mask of worry and fury. "Evelyn!" he roared, his voice heavy with anger and disbelief. "Where the hell have you been?" The accusation hung in the air, a physical blow. Evelyn stared at her father, his face contorted in fury, and a cold emptiness settled in her stomach. Before she could respond, Michael and Sandra appeared behind him, looking equally relieved and worried. Michael reached out to her, his face etched with concern. "Evelyn, thank goodness you're all right. Where were you? We were so worried." Evelyn stepped back, avoiding his touch, her expression cold and distant. She walked past them and into the house, her stepmother waiting in the hallway. "You could have taken your calls. You got us all really worried." "You should go shower," her stepmother said, her tone gentle but firm. "We need to get ready for the wedding." "There will be no wedding," Evelyn announced, her voice steady and loud enough for everyone to hear. A stunned silence fell over the room. Michael's face paled, his mouth opening and closing wordlessly. "What do you mean?" he finally managed to ask. "I mean exactly what I said," Evelyn replied, her voice unwavering. "I am not marrying you, Michael." Her father's face turned a shade of red Evelyn had never seen before. "What do you mean you're not getting married? How can you spend the night before your wedding God knows where, come back reeking of male cologne, and then say you're not getting married?" Sandra stepped forward, her expression one of concern. "Evelyn, what's wrong? Are you having cold feet? Evelyn turned to her stepsister, a stranger hidden behind a mask of feigned sympathy. The betrayal echoed in her memory, clear as day. How could she have been so blind? She mused as she looked at Sandra with a blank expression, feeling a surge of anger and betrayal. How did I never realize what a calculating bitch you are, she thought, but she said nothing. Her father's voice broke through her thoughts, loud and angry. You will go upstairs, get ready, and marry Michael, or you will cease to be a part of this family. Evelyn's heart ached at her father's words. It hurt that he cared more about the wedding than her well-being. She took a deep breath, standing tall. I am not getting married. It was my choice to get married, and now I no longer want to get married. You can do whatever you want, Dad. Her father's face twisted with rage. If you don't get married to Michael today, then you leave this house and never come back. I don't want to see your face ever again. Evelyn felt a pang of sadness but stood her ground. Fine. I will leave, she declared, since she also needed time and space. She needed space away from both Michael and Sandra. She couldn't bear to look them in the face and she never wanted to let them see or know how they had hurt her. The shock in the room was palpable as she turned and walked up the stairs and immediately her stepmother and Sandra hurried after her. Before either of them could walk into her bedroom, she slammed the door in their face and locked it, to keep them out. She grabbed a suitcase and began to pack, her hands trembling slightly but her resolve firm. She picked up passport and her essentials, her movements mechanical as she tried to ignore the emotions roiling inside her. Evelyn took one last look around her room, then headed back downstairs, her suitcase in tow. Downstairs, her father's voice continued to echo angrily, her stepmother trying to calm him down, while Michael and Sandra whispered urgently to each other. As she reached the bottom step, her father glared at her. You really mean to leave? Evelyn nodded, her eyes meeting his. Yes. Without another word, she walked past them all, out the front door, and into the new, uncertain future that awaited her. Chapter 5. As Derek stirred awake, he rolled over, reaching out instinctively, but his hand met only cool sheets. Groggily, he opened his eyes, blinking against the sunlight. When he saw that the other side of the bed was empty, he sat up, the remnants of sleep clinging to him, and looked around the quiet room. He glanced at the clock on the nightstand, it was 8 in the morning. He frowned, running a hand through his tousled hair. He swung his legs over the side of the bed, planting his feet on the plush carpet. He stood, stretching, and took a slow lap around the suite. Her clothes were gone, he noticed. The only trace of her was the subtle fragrance that still hung in the air. Her scent lingered in the room, a faint, tantalizing reminder of her presence. He remembered the night vividly, the intensity, the passion, the way her presence had ignited something in him. But now, she was gone. Frustration gnawed at him. He had just returned to the country the previous day, and the jet lag had hit him hard. He had slept more soundly than he had in weeks, and in his deep sleep, he hadn't heard her leave. Derek grabbed his phone from the nightstand and dialed his driver. It rang twice before the familiar voice answered. Good morning, Mr. Stone. The lady from yesterday, is her car still parked outside? Derek asked, not bothering with pleasantries. No, sir, the driver replied. I didn't see the car when I got here an hour ago. He cursed under his breath, thanking the driver before hanging up. He paced the room, his mind racing. He had no way of finding her, no clue about who she was or where she had gone. The realization only added to his frustration. He took a deep breath, forcing himself to calm down. There was nothing he could do about it now but hope that somehow she would show up again. For the time being, he needed to get ready for his cousin's wedding. Pushing aside his irritation, he headed to the bathroom to shower and shave. The hot water did little to ease the tension in his muscles. His thoughts kept drifting back to her moan, her touch, the way she had made him feel alive. But now she was gone, leaving behind only a memory. Derek stepped out of the shower and toweled off, his mind gradually shifting to the day's events. He dressed meticulously, choosing a crisp white shirt and a tailored suit. As he was fastening his cufflinks, his phone rang. It was his mother. "Morning, Mom," he greeted, holding the phone between his ear and shoulder as he finished dressing. "Derek, darling, are you all right? I just heard about the accident."
"I'm fine. I wasn't hurt," he assured her quickly.
"All right. You need to come home," she said, her voice tinged with urgency.
"Home? What for?" he echoed, confused.
"What about the wedding?"
"It's off, dear."
"There won't be a wedding," she replied. "The bride jilted your cousin. The wedding has been cancelled."
Derek paused, his cufflink forgotten.
"What happened?"
"I have no idea," his mother sighed.
"Just come home. Hopefully Michael will explain everything to us all."
"I'll be there soon," he said, ending the call. He stared at his reflection in the mirror, his mind reeling. The bride had jilted his cousin? This day was turning out to be far more complicated than he had anticipated. He finished dressing quickly and grabbed his keys and wallet, slipping them into his pockets. With one last glance around the room, he left the suite, the scent of her perfume still faintly lingering in the air, a ghost of the night before. He stared out the window as the driver drove him to his family home, his thoughts a tangled mess of frustration and curiosity. Who was she? Why had she left without a word? And what on earth had happened with his cousin's wedding? When he arrived, his mother met him at the door, her face drawn with worry. "I'm glad you're here," she said, pulling him into a brief hug. "What's going on?" Derek asked curiously. His mother sighed. "Let's go to the study. Your dad is there," she said, and led Derek to the study. "What's this about Michael being jilted?" Derek asked as soon as the door closed behind him. His mother shook her head, looking both angry and resigned. According to his mother, she was out all night with her lover. She showed up early this morning, announced there would be no wedding, and refused to explain herself. Then she packed a bag and left. Derek frowned. "Just like that?" he asked as he settled into the seat opposite his father. "Just like that," she confirmed. "Poor Michael. He must be devastated," Derek said, and his mother nodded. "This is such a mess. Can you imagine how much embarrassment and humiliation the family has to suffer? I can't believe he ever wanted to get married to someone so irresponsible," his mother said, and Derek sighed. "Well, I suppose a broken engagement is better than a broken marriage," Derek pointed out. "You could say that. Now that you're back, let's talk about the company. I'm stepping down for you to take over at the next shareholders meeting," his father announced. "When you say take over, do you mean as your puppet so you can pull the strings behind the scene, or do you mean you're going to step back completely and let me handle the business?" he asked with a raised brow, and his father chuckled. "I'm going to let you do your thing. I'm old and tired. All I want is to retire and spend all my time playing golf," his father said, and this time Derek chuckled. "You're only in your early 60s. You're not old at all. And I have no problems with taking over as long as you do not expect me to stand in front of any cameras reciting words I don't mean or pretending to be who I'm not," he said easily, and his father nodded. "I understand your desire to not be under public scrutiny, and I have always respected it. I won't stop now," he said, and Derek nodded. "Then I guess I'm ready to take over the reins of leadership from you." Chapter 6. Exactly 6 years after Evelyn walked out on her father and left the country on the morning of her wedding, she returned with Samantha, her 5-year-old daughter, and Maya, their trusted nanny for years. 6 years ago, she had not only left her home, She had left the country, and now, she was going back. Not because she had any desire to confront her past or face her father, but because she wanted to return to the country of her birth with her little girl. Images of the past 6 years flickered before her eyes: the deception of Michael, Sandra's betrayal, the abrupt departure, the loneliness of a foreign land, and the unexpected pregnancy. A pang of anger shot through her as she thought of her father's ultimatum to her on that morning 6 years ago: marriage to Michael or being cut off. He should have handled it better, she muttered under her breath, as she always did whenever she replayed the incident in her head. It still hurt and angered her each time she remembered how her father had reacted when he should have simply tried to make her open up about her reason for calling off the wedding. All of that didn't matter now. All that mattered was her little girl. Samantha was now the joy of her life, and the best part of her life was being Samantha's mom. Looking down at Samantha, who was fast asleep and nestled beside her, a radiant smile lit up Evelyn's face. "My bundle of joy," she whispered, her voice thick with emotion as she leaned down and kissed Samantha's forehead. Samantha, feeling her mother's lips, sleepily opened her eyes and returned the smile before drifting back off. Looking into Samantha's blue eyes, which she believed Samantha had inherited from her father, the memory of her carefree night with the stranger surfaced. She pushed the memory aside, not wanting to think about it or about the stranger who had given her the best sex of her life, and the best gift of her life, Samantha. She didn't want to think about how she had slept with a stranger whose name she did not know, and whose face she could not remember, in a desperate attempt to numb the pain of betrayal. No matter how great the sex had been, or the fact that she sometimes thought about how a perfect stranger had managed to make her feel so good, she didn't want to dwell on that. Especially not when she wasn't even sure she would be able to recognize the stranger if ever she crossed paths with him again. As the cab drove them to their reserved hotel, Samantha chattered endlessly as she looked out the window, asking questions which Maya happily answered, while Evelyn was preoccupied with her thoughts. The taxi driver's voice snapped her out of her reverie. "Here we are, ma'am," he announced, pulling up in front of the luxurious Stones Palace Hotel. Evelyn thanked him, fumbling slightly as she paid the fare while her charges got out of the cab. As soon as Evelyn turned to go into the hotel, she paused when it suddenly dawned on her that she was standing in front of the same hotel where she had spent the night with that stranger 6 years ago. When the Stones Palace had been recommended to her as a child-friendly hotel, she had not thought much of it before making reservations here. Was it a coincidence that this was the first place she was staying after 6 years away? The very same place she had spent her last night here, and where her daughter had been conceived. A knot of nervous excitement tightened in Evelyn's stomach. It was a strange coincidence, a full-circle moment that both unsettled and exhilarated her. Memories, bittersweet, flickered at the edges of her mind, but she quickly pushed them away and took a deep breath to calm herself. As Evelyn and her little crew stepped into the hotel lobby, a uniformed figure materialized, whisking away their luggage with practiced ease. "Welcome to the Stones Palace, ma'am. Let me help with your bags," he offered, already lifting the suitcases. Evelyn nodded, murmuring her thanks before turning to Maya. "You both can sit over there while I check us in," Evelyn instructed Maya. The lobby buzzed with activity. Crystal chandeliers twinkled overhead, casting a soft glow on plush armchairs and gilded picture frames. Taking Samantha's hand, whose eyes were wide with wonder, Maya led her to a velvet sofa where they both sat down, while Evelyn approached the reception desk. "Good evening. I have a reservation under Evelyn Quinn." The receptionist, a young woman with a warm smile, began typing on her computer. "Welcome, Ms. Quinn. Just a moment while I pull up your reservation." Meanwhile, Maya and Samantha settled into a plush love seat in the lobby. Maya sat with a serene expression, observing Samantha as she gazed around, her wide blue eyes taking in the beauty of the hotel. Across from them, a figure hunched over a phone caught Samantha's eye. Curiosity tugged at her, and she scooted closer to the edge of the sofa, her gaze fixed on the man. As if sensing her stare, he lifted his head. A smile, warm and genuine, crinkled the corners of his eyes when he saw the little girl staring directly at him, her eyes bright with curiosity. "Hello, little one," Derek greeted with a friendly smile as he looked over the pretty little girl in front of him. "Mister, holding that phone so close to your face is bad for your eyes," she declared, her voice clear and piping as she pointed at his phone. "Sammy." Maya scolded, but Derek chuckled, a genuine sound that rumbled pleasantly as he lowered his phone, and Samantha's face lit up in response. "Is that right?" he asked, amusement dancing in his eyes. "Who told you that, little one?"
"My mommy," Samantha replied with the seriousness of a child imparting wisdom. Derek's gaze shifted to Maya, who was now watching the interaction with mild amusement. He assumed she was Samantha's mother and offered her a polite nod. Then he turned back to Samantha.
"Well, your mummy is very wise. Thank you for looking out for me, Sammy. How did you know my name?"
Samantha asked, her eyes wide with wonder, and Derek grinned. "A little birdie told me," he said, even though he had just heard Maya refer to her as Sammy, "can I call you Sam?"
Samantha nodded enthusiastically. "What's your name?"
"My name is Rick.
Are you staying at the hotel, Sam?"
Samantha, ever eager to share, nodded enthusiastically.
"Yes.
We're going to have a really nice room," she said, her excitement bubbling over. Derek smiled.
"That sounds wonderful. You should try out the hotel's playground. It's a lot of fun."
Samantha's eyes widened.
"Playground?"
Derek chuckled.
"Exactly. Slides, swings, a whole jungle gym, it's a kid's paradise."
Samantha's excitement was tangible as she turned to look at Maya.
"Can we go?"
she pleaded, bouncing in her seat.
"If you're a good girl, we can go tomorrow," Maya promised.
"I promise to be good," Samantha said, and Derek smiled.
Samantha turned back to him. "We have the same eye color," she told him, and Derek nodded.
"That we do. Maybe it's a sign that we should be friends," he said, and she shook her head.
"I'm not supposed to be friends with strangers," she said, her expression innocent.
"I'm not exactly a stranger anymore since you know my name and we are going to be neighbors for some days since we both live here," he explained.
"You live here too? Will your room be as nice as ours?"
she asked, and Derek laughed a deep, hearty sound.
"Yes, I do. I've been living here for years.
And my room is the nicest in the hotel," he said, and her mouth formed a small O of surprise.
"You don't have a mommy and a home."
"I do have a mommy and a home. This hotel is my home too because I own it."
Samantha's eyes grew even wider, and she was about to ask another question when Maya, who had been listening to the exchange with a wary smile, exchanged a glance with Evelyn, who had just finished checking in and had signaled her to come along.
"It's time to leave, Sammy," Maya said as she rose.
"Now thank Mr. Rick for his time," Maya said as she took Samantha's hand.
"Thank you, Mr. Rick," Samantha said politely.
Derek smiled at her.
"Enjoy the playground before you leave," he said, and Maya gave him a polite nod before walking away with Samantha.
Derek leaned back in his chair, a thoughtful frown replacing his earlier smile. Although he was a lover of kids, the little girl, Sam, with her bright eyes and bossy pronouncements, had stirred something unexpected within him. A warmth, a tenderness he couldn't explain, and for some reason, he wanted to see her again.
Derek shook his head, dismissing the odd feeling as he returned his attention to his phone. This time, he made sure not to bring the phone too close to his face.
Chapter 7. "Look, Mommy. We can see everything from here," Samantha exclaimed as they walked into their spacious and elegantly decorated room with a view of the city.
Evelyn smiled, her heart swelling with love for her daughter.
"Yes, we can. It's a beautiful view," Evelyn said as she watched Samantha run to the window, pressing her nose against the glass. The bellman set their luggage down and handed Evelyn the room keys. If you need anything, please don't hesitate to call the front desk.
Thank you, Evelyn replied, tipping him.
As he left, she turned to Maya. You can go freshen up and get some rest. I will take care of Sam. Tomorrow you'll have to watch her.
I have a very important meeting tomorrow.
Maya nodded. You don't have to worry about a thing. We will be fine. We plan on exploring the playground tomorrow.
Evelyn smiled gratefully.
Thank you, Maya. I don't know what I'd do without you, Evelyn said as Maya walked away to her room.
Mommy, I have a new friend, Samantha, who had been looking out the glass, announced as she came back to join her mother.
Plus five.
Already?
Evelyn asked, amused by Samantha's ability to befriend people so easily.
Yes. His name is Rec, and he told me about the playground, Samantha said, and Evelyn smiled.
I see. Hopefully, you'll get to play with Rec at the playground tomorrow, Evelyn said, thinking that Rec was a kid her age.
Now, no more talking.
Time to freshen up, Evelyn announced before Samantha could say anything else. After settling Samantha in for the night and making sure Maya was comfortable in the other room, Evelyn took a moment to herself. She stood by the window, looking out at the city she had once known so well. The magazine where she worked had given her an important and seemingly impossible task, one that was tied to her promotion. She had been asked to convince the elusive billionaire CEO, Derek Stone, to agree to an interview. This was a feat that no media house or reporter had been able to achieve, and she had to do it if she wanted to be promoted. She had booked an appointment with Derek Stone before traveling down, and come morning, she would seize the opportunity that awaited her, but for now, she needed to rest and prepare her mind. The next morning, after a quick breakfast, Evelyn left Samantha in Maya's care as she left the hotel for Stone Corp. As the cab drove through the city, navigating its way through the early morning traffic, Evelyn looked through the window, feeling a wave of nostalgia wash over her. The streets looked both familiar and strange at the same time, a reminder of how much time she had spent away from here. Pushing away thoughts of the past, Evelyn focused on the challenges of the present. Since her waking hour, she had been trying to come up with different ways to convince Mr. Stone to have the interview with her, and even as the cab rode to a stop in front of the company, she still didn't have any idea how to go about convincing him. What could she say that would be different from everything he had heard all these years from people even far more experienced than she was? As she walked into the towering office building of Stone Corp., her nerves tightened. Her mind was so focused on her meeting with Mr. Stone that she did not notice the familiar figure whom she walked past until she heard her name.
Evelyn.
She turned around when she heard the familiar voice and she saw him, Michael. The idiot whom she had wasted her precious years on. The bastard who had tried to dupe her into marriage with him when he didn't love her. He looked exactly the same as she remembered him, and the sight of him annoyed her even more now than it had 6 years ago. How did she ever fall for someone so shifty? How could she have forgotten that this was where he worked? In putting the past behind her, she had forgotten that Derek Stone was his cousin. Was Michael going to be an obstacle? She mused as she ignored him and turned to leave, but he grabbed her hand.
Is this really you?
Michael asked, his voice laced with disbelief. What are you doing here after disappearing for 6 years without even bothering to offer an apology or explanation as to why you called off the wedding? Do you have any idea how much embarrassment you caused me and my family? He demanded, and Evelyn's jaw tightened as she snatched her hand from his grip. If you do not want to cause a scene here, go on your way and act like you do not know me, she warned coldly, shocking Michael. Before he could recover from his shock, she walked away and stepped into the elevator, hoping to avoid any further interaction with him. The last thing she needed was a confrontation with Michael, especially not now and definitely not here.
Michael was confused and furious as he watched her leave. Without wasting any time, he whipped out his phone and dialed Sandra's number. "You won't believe who I just ran into right now," he said the moment the call connected.
"Who?"
Sandra inquired, her voice curious.
"Evelyn.
Evelyn? Are you sure?" Sandra's voice spiked with surprise. "Would I call you if I wasn't sure?" I confronted her, but she totally ignored me, Michael said, still feeling annoyed by her attitude.
"Where did you see her?"
Sandra asked, a hint of skepticism in her voice.
"Right here at the company," he said, wondering who she was there to see.
"I take it you don't know why she is there. Can you find out who she's there to meet and why? And maybe you can follow her when she leaves and see where she's been hiding this whole time," Sandra suggested.
"Sure.
I will have to cancel my meeting first. I will call you later," Michael said before hanging up. While Michael hurriedly headed for the elevator to see if he could catch up with Evelyn, Evelyn was being ushered into Derek's office by his secretary. Taking a deep breath, Evelyn pushed open the imposing office door, a tremor of nervousness running through her as she stepped into the office of the elusive Derek Stone. Chapter 8. Evelyn put on her most charming smile on her face as she faced the man who was seated behind the desk with his head bent over his laptop.
"Good morning, Mr. Stone," she greeted, her tone a blend of pleasant and polite. Derek raised his head when he heard the familiar female voice he couldn't quite place. He was completely surprised when he met her gaze. Those green eyes belonged to none other than the one lady who had been on his mind for years. The one who had run away from him after their passionate night together. How could he not remember those green eyes? He had been with numerous women, most of whom he did not remember, but she was one he couldn't forget. He remembered how her green eyes, which had been brimming with tears of sadness, had burned with passion. Who would have thought he would cross paths with her again? Or that she would walk into his office this way? He mused as he gazed at her. She looked different compared to the last time he saw her. Her auburn hair, which had been long and curly a year ago, was now a pixie cut, giving her a more sharp and professional look. Evelyn's smile faltered when she noticed the way he was staring at her wordlessly. Why was he looking at her so intensely? She mused, unsure whether to approach his desk or just stand there. Deciding that perhaps he was staring because he didn't know who she was or maybe he was expecting her to say something, she cleared her throat. "My name is Evelyn Quinn, and I'm from Empowered Magazine," she explained as she moved closer to his desk. "So, that was her name? Evelyn Quinn." He found it funny how a name he had desperately wanted and would have given anything to know all those years ago was mentioned so casually to him now. He had only agreed to meet with the person from Empowered Magazine because he wanted to honor them, but seeing her here now, he was glad that he had agreed to meet with her. When he still did not say anything or offer her a seat, she looked around the office. "You have a nice office," Evelyn said, still trying to get him to talk since he had yet to say a word to her. Although, Derek could tell that he was making her uncomfortable by staring at her that way, he didn't care. Not when she was acting like she didn't remember him. Not knowing what else to do, Evelyn instinctively stretched out her hand. "It's nice to finally meet you, Mr. Stone," she said, still smiling at him. Derek looked down at her hand, and then he rose and took it in his own. "Have we met before?" he asked, studying her face and trying to see if she was acting like she didn't know him because she was trying to be professional. Evelyn blinked back her confusion, wondering why he was holding onto her hand. "I don't think so," she said with a shake of her head. "Playing the pretend game with me, are you?" Derek asked, causing her to quickly withdraw her hand, puzzled. "What do you mean, Mr. Stone?" she asked, and Derek raised a brow, wondering if she was pretending or probably really didn't recognize him. How could she not? How could she not remember him after all that had transpired between them? How could she forget him when she had lived rent-free in his head for the last 6 years?
Derek mused as memories of her soft lips flooded his mind. He had dreamt of her every night for the past 6 years, her tear-streaked face, her presumptuous demand, and her cries of pleasure echoing in his mind, her touch an intense memory. "You don't recognize me?" he asked, and she frowned. "Am I supposed to? I think you have the wrong person. I've never been here before and was only sent from my company, to convince you to feature in our next issue," she clarified. Derek narrowed his eyes as he studied her intently, looking for a hint of recognition, or probably a glint of mischief in her eyes, any sign at all to see if she was pretending, since he knew very well that he wasn't mistaken. Unfortunately, there was nothing. Her wide green eyes shone with innocence as they stared back at him, bruising his ego. "I see that you really do not remember me," he remarked, his eyes shimmering with a flicker of hurt in them. Evelyn's mind raced with questions about who he could be, since she had never really been good with placing faces, or who she was being mistaken for. She felt concerned that a mistaken identity might jeopardize her chances of getting him to agree to an interview. A wave of disbelief washed over Derek as he continued to watch her. There was no way he was going to let her forget him so easily. Driven by desperate hope, he went around his desk, and Evelyn watched in confusion as she waited to see what he wanted to do. As he closed the distance between them, he could tell that he was making her nervous, but he didn't care. "Perhaps I should leave," Evelyn said as he walked closer to her with deliberate and determined steps. Standing in front of her now, Derek leaned forward so he was at the same eye level with her. "Do you remember me now?" he asked, and she shook her head. "I'm sorry, Are you married?" Derek asked, cutting her off as his eyes went to her ring finger. "No," she said with a frown, wondering why he was asking her such a personal question. "Engaged." "Do you have a boyfriend?" he asked, hoping that would jog her memory, since those were the exact questions she had asked him too. Evelyn shook her head as her brows pulled together in a frown. "No." "Why are you?" "That's good then." "Perfect," Derek said as he lowered his lips to hers. Chapter 9. The moment his lips touched hers, Evelyn stiffened. She had heard about workplace harassment and how powerful people love to abuse their power, but never would she have thought she would be a victim of this. She would never have imagined that someone like Derek Stone would behave this way, Evelyn thought as she felt a rise of anger within her. She pushed him away, and stepped back, her green eyes flashing with anger and her face flushed red. "What is the meaning of that?" she demanded angrily as she clenched her fists to keep herself from hitting him. Derek couldn't believe that she still didn't remember, even after the questions he just asked to jog her memory. "I guess this is why you do not like to be interviewed or want your photos out there. You do not want anyone to see you for the kind of man you are," she said, and he snorted. "And what kind of man do you think I am, Eve?" he asked, and she glared at him for addressing her like they were friends. "I do not think we are close enough for you to call me by that name," she said in a scathing tone. "Shouldn't you be trying to convince me to accept the request you're here to make?" Derek asked, amused by her show of temper. This woman was quite different from the one he had met. She had been an emotional mess back then, but this woman here seemed to be solid. "You're going to agree to the interview," she said, making up her mind to not beg him.
"I am.
Now why would I do that?" Derek asked as he sat on the edge of his desk and watched her. "Because if you don't, I'm going to expose you for the disgusting pig you are. You might have been getting away with this dirty attitude of yours, but I am different. I won't let you off so easily," she threatened, and he laughed. "Let me get this straight. You're saying you're going to tell everyone I came onto you and kissed you if I don't do the interview?" he asked in disbelief. "That's right," she said, and he chuckled. "Isn't that blackmail?" he asked, and she shrugged. "Call it whatever you want." "You harassed me," she said flatly. "If there is anyone who harassed anyone between the both of us, that would be you, Evelyn Quinn, not me," he said,
and she raised a brow.
Really? You're going to make it my word against yours kind of case? She asked, and he smiled.
You do not have any proof that I did anything to you.
But I have proof of what you did, Derek said, and she frowned.
What are you talking about?
She asked in confusion.
I must say I'm hurt, Eve.
You have really hurt my feelings and bruised my ego, he said, and she frowned, wondering why he kept sounding like he knew her.
Have we met before?
Evelyn asked now, since the more she looked at him, the more she was beginning to think he was familiar.
Would you want to have sex with me?
Derek asked, and when he saw the flash of indignation in her eyes, he shook his head.
That was the question you asked me, Evelyn.
How can you so easily forget me after asking me to have sex with you? He asked before she could say anything.
Evelyn's heart skipped a beat and a gasp escaped from her lips as recognition dawned on her.
How could she not have recognized him? Those eyes that looked so much like Samantha's.
Her mind flashed back to that night, and when she pieced all his actions together, it became clear to her who he was.
She took a step back in denial. I don't know who you are or what you're talking about, she denied without meeting his gaze, even though her cheeks, which had flushed with anger a moment ago, were flushed with shame now. There was no way she was admitting that she was that wanton lady he had met 6 years ago.
Derek's lips twitched. He had seen the flicker of recognition in her eyes before she looked away, so now he knew that she knew exactly who he was.
You remember now, don't you?
So, which of us should charge the other with sexual harassment?
Derek asked and watched as her eyes darted to the door as though she was searching for an escape.
I think you have the wrong person.
Maybe we should reschedule this meeting for another time, Evelyn said as she turned to head for the door, but Derek grabbed her hand.
Why don't I jog your memory then?
He asked as he pulled her to himself rough.
What?
Derek crushed his lips to her once again, and this time there was nothing gentle about it.
Evelyn placed both hands on his chest and pushed him away.
Stop it.
Please stop.
She pleaded when she felt her body awakening to his touch.
Derek stopped and looked at her.
When she didn't meet his gaze, he placed a finger under her chin so she would look at him.
Do you remember now?
He asked, daring her with his eyes to deny it once again.
Slowly, she dropped her hands to her side.
I'm sorry, I have to go, she said, and without waiting for him to say another word, she turned and fled his office.
Derek had a smirk on his face as he watched her leave, but he made no attempt to chase after her or stop her. He had no fears about not seeing her again now since he knew she would come back.
She had come to him for business after all.
And even if she decided not to come back, he would find her easily.
He not only knew her name now, but he also knew where she worked and the fact that she was very single, he thought with a grin.
Derek couldn't help feeling satisfied with himself for bringing back her memory.
Now, she could no longer deny it.
Chapter 10. Michael, who had been in the company's security room checking the CCTV footage to see where Evelyn had entered, saw her coming out of Derek's office, and he immediately hurried out of there so he could catch up with her. He was quick enough to arrive outside just as she got into a cab. Michael made sure to stay on Evelyn's tail as he followed her from when she left Stone Corporate until she arrived at the Stone's Palace. He waited in his car until Evelyn entered and disappeared into the hotel before he stepped out. Crossing the street, he entered the grand foyer of the hotel, the polished marble floors echoing his footsteps. He approached the reception desk, where a young woman greeted him with a professional smile, and the smile grew wider when she recognized Michael to be their CEO's cousin.
Good afternoon, sir. How can I assist you today?
She asked, her voice as polished as the surroundings. Michael leaned in slightly, lowering his voice.
I was wondering if you could tell me if any Evelyn Quinn is staying here.
I have a personal matter to discuss with her, he inquired. Although that was against the hotel's policy, the receptionist didn't bother asking any questions as she typed swiftly into her computer and then nodded.
Yes, Ms. Quinn is staying here.
Is there anything else I can assist you with? She asked, and Michael asked for the room number.
Anything else, sir?
She asked, and he shook his head.
That's all I needed to know.
Thank you, Michael said before stepping back and exiting the hotel. Now that he knew where Evelyn was staying, it was time he found out what she had gone to do at the office, Michael thought as he returned to the company. The moment he got to the company, he went directly to Derek's office, and the secretary did not stop him as he went in. Derek, who was busy on the phone with Evelyn's boss, spared Michael a glance as he walked in.
Yes.
You got that right. That's my only condition, Derek said before hanging up.
Hey.
Michael greeted casually as he made himself comfortable on one of the seats. Are you very busy? He asked, and Derek raised a brow.
Not at the moment.
Why?
Is there a problem?
Derek asked, giving Michael his full attention.
No.
It's just that on my way out for a meeting, I saw a lady leaving your office, and I'm sort of curious about her.
What was she here for?
Michael said, gauging Derek's reaction. Derek's eyes narrowed slightly.
She's from Empowered Magazine, he said since that was the only lady who had been to his office that morning.
So, what does she want?
An interview.
Michael asked since that was something almost all the magazines wanted.
An exclusive interview with the elusive Stone Corp CEO.
Yes, Derek said simply, why do you ask?
Derek asked curiously, and Michael shrugged.
Can't I be curious about a beautiful lady? He asked with a grin, not wanting to tell Derek that she was the bitch who had screwed him over on the day of their wedding.
I wonder why they all keep approaching you when they know you're going to refuse, Michael said with a shake of his head, thinking that Evelyn had left so quickly because Derek turned her down.
I have no idea, Derek said simply, his tone tinged with amusement.
Is that the only reason you are here?
Derek asked suspiciously, and Michael smiled, deciding to seize the opportunity to make a request.
He chuckled.
Of course not. Why would I leave my office to come talk about some random girl? Michael asked incredulously, and Derek nodded.
So, why are you here then?
To ask you for a favor, he said, and Derek frowned.
You know very well I don't like favors.
What favor? Derek asked with disapproval.
I want you to accompany me to the Quinn's anniversary.
No, Derek cut in before he could finish.
I promised them I would convince you to attend.
You shouldn't have done so, Derek said with displeasure, clearly unimpressed by Michael's request.
I know.
And I'm sorry.
Please, I want you to be at the anniversary party.
It's their 23rd marriage anniversary, and I want to make it special for them, Michael pleaded.
Sandra had asked him to arrange for her to meet with Derek.
Just like they had planned for him to marry Evelyn and take over her inheritance, they wanted Derek to marry Sandra so they could dupe him.
Derek raised an eyebrow, "What's with you and that family anyway?
Why do you care about making their anniversary special for them?
And why would I want to do that for them when their daughter jilted you that way?
Don't tell me you still have feelings for her, and you're hoping she would come back to you."
Derek asked with a visible frown.
Michael scoffed, "I wouldn't even accept her if she came back crawling on all fours. It's just that her parents are good to him. Her father even disowned her because of what she did to me. There's no reason why I should ignore them simply because things didn't work out between their daughter and me," Michael explained reasonably.
"Please, Dee. Do this for me," he pleaded, and Derek sighed, rubbing his temples.
"Mike, we've been over this before. You know how much I dislike parties and public functions.
Yet you were going to attend my wedding.
That's because it was your wedding, and you're like a younger brother to me.
We practically grew up together, so I couldn't have missed it even if I wanted," Derek cut in again, and Michael sighed.
"Just consider it my wedding since I'm not sure when or if I'm ever going to get married.
If you do this for me, then I owe you one.
I really want you to be there, Michael implored, and Derek sighed.
I'm sorry, Mike. I can do any other thing but not this one, Derek said, but Michael shook his head.
Don't be in haste to decline. There's still time. It's in 2 weeks, so think about it.
I'm sure you'll give me a positive reply, Michael said, and Derek snorted.
Will you think about it?
Please.
Michael asked, and Derek remained silent for a moment, his expression unreadable. Finally, he nodded slightly.
All right. I'll think about it.
But I'm not promising you anything, Derek said, and Michael smiled, taking that as a good sign.
That's good enough.
Thank you, he said as he walked out of the office. Michael knew getting Derek to commit would be a challenge, but at least he had planted the seed. Now, he just had to wait and see if it would grow. Not only that, he also knew where Evelyn was staying. He had accomplished a lot in one day and couldn't wait to tell Sandra.